Morning, Eric and TDU here on Relevant Radio. It's Glenn in for John. The three R's. We want to make sure our kids are on top of all the reading, writing, and arithmetic. How about their faith as well? Do we pour as much effort into learning that? We'll talk with Father Mark Mathias before the hour is through about just that very thing. But first off, we're going to talk about how to talk to kids about what's going on in the church. Mary Jo Gerd is with us. She's a housewife and mom of three, a writer based out of Denver as well. Mary Jo, good morning. Great to have you along today.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Glenn.
Well, we've been talking a lot about this and talking amongst one another, talking on the radio, talking to other adults, and wondering how is the best way to talk to kids about what's going on in the church right now. I do imagine it depends on their age a little bit, but like having the talk, there is something that we need to say that's age appropriate for every age.
That's for certain. We have to remember this devastation that our church is facing. It's on all of our doorsteps right now. As the domestic church, we walk out, it's on our doorstep. And we can either choose to try to walk over it, walk around it, or we face it. And I think right now, even with little kids, we can face it in a way. Certainly we have to tailor it to their age and to what their maturity level is, but we need to face it. As adults, we need to face it, and we're charged with these children's souls, and so it's really important that we do engage and face it.
Mary Jo, do we wait till the kids bring it up, or do we be proactive depending, again, on the individual child?
You know, I think it's really important that we be proactive because they're going to leave their Catholic bubble. If they're, you know, regular kids, they're going to leave the Catholic bubble and go to sports. They're going to engage with kids in the neighborhood. And chances are good that they're going to face these accusations, which are really severe. So I feel like it's better to arm them. That's the thing. That was why I wrote this, because I wasn't encountering any help. I actually called a couple people asking, and it was like a hot potato. Nobody really wanted to talk about it. But I think we engage them. We talk about it. And not just, this is a reminder that not just do we speak to them at this time, but we talk to them ongoing about these things. We remind them that no topic is taboo. Just empower them, because in doing that, we create good adults who then see things, witness things, and are empowered to speak up. So I say it's talk to them now and talk to them continuously. I'm not saying all the time, but certainly it should be in the rotation of things we discuss.
It seems almost odd, but is it necessary to kind of talk to them about their safety in different environments with other adults, as well as specifics about church scandal?
Yes. What I really believe with regard to this one really point that I want to get across is that we need to let kids know we walk in the truth. As Catholics, as good, devout Catholics, we walk in the truth. And so there's a few things we need to be aware of, which is, what does the absence of truth look and feel like? The absence of truth is when the Holy Spirit radar will, the hairs on the back of their necks should stand on end when they encounter these particular things. Adults or kids, peers, that want them to keep secrets from their parents or their teachers. That's their Holy Spirit radar should be going off the charts. That's number one. Number two, also adults or kids who overreact to respectful questions. So if our kids who are encouraged to engage and really think things through are met with anger, hostility, condescension when they've asked a valid, respectful question, again, the hairs on the neck, their neck should be standing on end, because those adults or peers are not walking in the truth. They're not peddling the truth. They're peddling something other than the truth. So these kinds of things can help to protect them, to just be aware what that feels like, and to really tap into that Holy Spirit moment that's there to protect them.
And we can confidently move into this and look at it as a teachable moment to teach about not only physical safety, but also integrity and truthfulness.
This is exactly right. It's so important because these ongoing conversations can eventually, the takeaway here is if we engage now and we look at this terrible thing, this devastation as an opportunity to be strengthened, we're looking at raising more confident adults, more well-adjusted adults, and just better Christians, which is a beauty that can come out of this terrible devastation.
Now, as a mom and as a parent myself, you know, we want our kids' youth to be as idyllic as possible. Things like this and the necessity to discuss them might take away a little of that innocence a little sooner than we'd like. That's one of the problems that the younger kids may face, is that sooner loss of innocence. How about the older kids just being more jaded about their faith when they hear these stories of what has happened to some people they ought to be looking up to?
You know, you're tapping into what was my biggest concern. You know, I titled my blog post Filth and Faith because we have to face this filth, and yet I don't want to sacrifice their faith. We're charged with their souls. We're charged with forming them. How do we not undermine that faith? And especially the progress, like, oh, we're making progress, you know, now what? But the reality is you can always remind them that there are good, you know, honest people. Remind them of, point out when you see someone who's so holy and doing so well. And certainly that doesn't mean, we've got to remember, a Roman collar or a habit does not equate goodness. It just means they've risen to a particular spot, and so we can't assume that they're sinless. Certainly they're not sinless, but we can't assume that they're not troubled. But that doesn't mean there aren't great examples of people of goodness out there. So we continue to seek that, and we continue to point that out. So it's got to be two-sided in the sense that, yes, we need to remind them of all the negativity. We need to remind them of all the dangers. But we also need to point out really good people that we see that are doing the work of Christ, that are the hands and feet of Christ. When we see that, we point that out to them.
Mary Jo Gerd, housewife and mom of three and a writer as well out of Denver, talking to kids about church issues, our topic this morning for this segment of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, hopefully not in a criminal way, hopefully not in a big public way, but we all do. Is there a lesson to be learned here when we look at the big picture of what has happened to teach our kids about sin and falling from grace and that restoration is possible?
Yes. I think that the important thing to remind your kids, is that, and this is what we're doing, my husband and I are doing this, is that we find our identity in God. We find our identity in God and in His love and not the circumstances surrounding us. And that, for me, is the really big takeaway. And as I'm teaching them, I'm reminding myself, which is, I think, the beauty of parenting. As we strive to be good parents, we end up teaching ourselves important lessons as well. But that's the really big takeaway, is we gain our identity not from these tragedies, not from these difficulties, it's all in God's love. It's all in God.
We need to pray for wisdom, but at the same time, we're encouraged to have a childlike faith. And often our littlest ones can really be a great example of just having a rock solid, very concrete faith. Can that be something we look toward to when we're looking to hang on to our faith, when others might be, even as adults, kind of teasing us about, you're still Catholic in the midst of all this?
Yes, I think we have to, we're going to have to essentially raise rebels here. You know, we're going to be rebels for God. We're going to be rebels for Christ. We're not going to fall prey to the worldly accusations. We are going to be rebels for God, and we're going to rise up. And I think the really important thing there is they're going to be stalwart. They're going to be strong individuals if we foster prayer life for them. Are they witnessing us praying? And I'm reminding my kids now, we've kind of gotten in the regular rotation, not that we didn't do it before, because we actually did it before, but we would pray for those who have been harmed by members of the church. And I think that's such an important thing, because number one, it creates compassionate, loving individuals. And also it portrays realistic a realistic view, perspective about humans. So we just have to really continue to foster that that prayerfulness in our children, and that will strengthen them. I'm convinced it does wonders for me. When I have regular prayer life, I'm in a better place. And so we continue to harp on that and remind them of that and lead them in that direction.
Mary Jo, I love that idea of being rebels for God. It appeals to kids to be kind of a rebel for any particular cause.
Right.
And if we can get them to be a rebel for them, have opportunity, maybe more than we did during, you know, sort of normal growing up times, to a degree, at least as far as the church was concerned. But they'll be better equipped to be able to kind of, on the spur of the moment, defend their faith because they'll have had a little more practice, if nothing else.
That's right. Kids are waiting to lead. I really do. I think I really believe this, that they're looking for opportunities to step up and take a stand. We're a family of introverts, but truthfully, you know, I see small acts of, you know, defiance towards the world, which really bolsters my faith and bolsters my hope with my children. And so even introverted kids can, they're looking for an avenue to be a leader. And so we just continue to empower them. And again, you know, a good mom and dad, they engage. This is my opinion. And I'm not an expert. I'm not a therapist. I'm a mom who's really trying to form good kids. But a good mom and dad, they're honest with their kids. You can't be the CEO of your family. You can't say, look over here, divert the attention. A real loving mom and dad, and that's how I want to be treated by my pastor. I want them to be honest. And certainly, again, with the age range, you have to be careful about how honest, how much detail you go into. But honesty empowers people, and it empowers children. And they will be leaders and rebels for God.
You got to think we're heading into a new time of extreme honesty in the church. Mary Jo Gerd, we appreciate your time today. Before we let you go, I got to ask you about your blog called Late for Church. As a parent, when mine were young, you know, we could get them out the door for school 5 days a week, no problem, get them to practice for this and that on time. But Sunday mornings, oh,
right,
it was the
right.
Toughest. What's the deal with Sunday mornings?
Right. It is. There's a chaos that ensues that no other time. And that I thought when I chose the name, I knew it was right because I was affirmed by so many people. Oh, that's how it is for us. And it is. It's just you're worried about, you know, am I dressed properly? Are the people around me dressed like that? You know, is it an hour? You worry about the fasting an hour before. And have you, you know, oh, it's madness, but it's a good madness, and we're in it together.
Very good. We appreciate your thoughts on parenting in a tough time here, and more. Find out more of the Late for Church blog. Mary Jo Gerd with us here. Hey, we continue, and we'll talk more about kids with Father Mark Mathias. We'll talk about teaching faith in addition to the three R's when we return with more of Morning Air coming up right here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.